Imagine a mountain that can grow from the inside out. Deep below Earth's surface, hot rock can melt, move, and sometimes reach the open air. That is where a volcano begins. In this episode, we will follow three big ideas: how volcanoes form, how magma becomes lava, and why eruptions can look so different. Then we will see how scientists watch these restless places carefully. Ready to look beneath the ground? Earth's outer rocky shell is called the crust. Beneath it lies the mantle, a huge layer of very hot rock. Most mantle rock is solid, but over long periods it can flow slowly. In some places, part of it melts into magma. Magma is less dense than the rock around it, so it can rise through cracks or weak spots. Volcanoes often form where tectonic plates pull apart, push together, or where a hot area, called a hot spot, warms rock from below. As magma collects in a chamber, pressure may build. If it finds a path to the surface, repeated eruptions can pile up lava, ash, and other rocks, creating a volcanic mountain. Some volcanoes are broad and gently sloping. Others are steep and cone-shaped. Their shapes depend partly on the materials and eruptions that built them. Here is the second idea. Magma and lava are related, but they are not the same thing. Magma is molten rock below Earth's surface. Once that molten rock erupts or flows onto the surface, we call it lava. Magma can also contain dissolved gases, such as water vapor and carbon dioxide. As pressure drops near the surface, gases may form bubbles, like bubbles in a fizzy drink. Magma and lava cool into solid rock. Cooling slowly underground can make larger crystals. Cooling quickly at the surface usually makes tiny crystals, or even glassy rock. Now for the third idea. Eruption styles vary. One reason is viscosity, which means how easily a liquid flows. Runny magma lets gases escape more easily. It can produce lava that spreads in streams or sheets. Thick magma traps gases more readily. Pressure can then build until the magma breaks apart into ash, rock fragments, and clumps of lava. Composition matters too. Magma with more silica is often thicker, while magma with less silica is often more fluid. Water and other gases also affect behaviour. So an eruption may be quiet and steady, or it may be more explosive. These words describe different processes, not a simple scale from good to bad. Even a quiet lava flow can be dangerous nearby, and an explosive eruption can affect areas far away through ash in the air. Scientists study each volcano because its history, shape, and underground plumbing are different. How do scientists monitor volcanoes? They look for changes, not just visible lava. Seismometers detect tiny earthquakes and vibrations caused by moving magma or shifting rock. GPS instruments and other sensors can measure whether the ground is swelling or tilting. Scientists may use satellites to map changes in height, heat, or gas clouds. They can test gases released from vents, because changing gas amounts may reveal movement underground. They also watch springs, lakes, and streams for changes in temperature or chemistry. These clues are combined with a volcano's past behaviour. Monitoring cannot tell us every detail or predict an exact eruption time. It can help scientists recognise patterns, estimate hazards, and share warnings so communities can make careful plans. The goal is not to stop a volcano. It is to understand its signals and reduce harm. Let's recap. Volcanoes form when magma rises and builds up at Earth's surface, often near moving tectonic plates or above hotspots. Magma is molten rock underground. Lava is that same material after it reaches the surface. Eruption styles depend on viscosity, gases, composition, and pressure. Scientists monitor earthquakes, ground movement, gases, heat, water, and other clues. A volcano is not a chimney with one simple switch. It is part of a changing Earth system. What clues would you choose to monitor if you were studying a volcano, and why?